Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When we sit down to eat, I think many of us offer what we call the common table prayer. Now, I'm not exactly certain about the history of that prayer. In fact, no one seems to really know for sure where it came from or who wrote it. Or we do know that it was found published in a Moravian hymnal in the mid-1700s, and it made its beginning among German Christians. So for those of you who are German, you get another feather in your cap. Now, it being a Moravian hymnal, this is to humble us just a little bit, it being a Moravian hymnal, these were the Germans following the Calvinist rather than the Lutheran branch of the Reformation. But be that as it may, it's a prayer that has caught on among many, if not most, Protestant Christians. And in fact, the Lutheran Witness had a nice little article on it in April of 2021. If you happen to have the Lutheran Witness 2021, you can look that up or you can get it on the internet. Gene Edward Veith wrote that. Now, there are slightly different variations of this prayer. Most of you probably know that. Our family has adopted one of those variations. We actually inserted another stanza, if you will, to it. After we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed," we pray, "and let there be a goodly share on every table, everywhere." Now, I've heard about that after one of the LWML conventions many years ago, and so I thought somebody from the LWML must have written that. Well, they didn't. It too has a rather long history as one of the variations of this table prayer. But since we pray that section, it makes it now the uncommon table prayer. And that leads to some confusion for people, friends and family, who don't pray that part when they're eating with us at home. So we've kind of taken the practice of only praying that part of the prayer in our home, and then trying to take our cue from the head of the house when we're guests in other people's homes. Oh, and we also don't pray that part in restaurants. I'm not exactly sure why, we just don't. But while there are many variations of this prayer, I think it's significant that all of them begin, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." And when you do think about it, that's a very appropriate Advent prayer. In the season of Advent, we sing songs that declare that very theme. "O come, Emmanuel," or "Savior of the nations, come. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, the King shall come when morning dawns. Savior of the nations, come." Did I say that one already? That was a good one. If I did, that's a good one. "Come, thou precious ransom, come." It's also appropriate for Advent because in this season, we not only anticipate his coming to us at Christmas, but we also anticipate Jesus coming to us in glory at the end of time. This prayer actually begins with the last prayer spoken in the Bible. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon, amen. Come, Lord Jesus.'" So our table prayer echoes the theme of this season, and it anticipates his yet to come at the end of time. And we're going to be focusing on this prayer these next number of Wednesdays, or three Wednesdays, two Wednesdays left. So it begins, "Come, Lord Jesus." But then it continues, "Be our guest." And I wonder, as often as we pray that, how many of you pray this as a regular table prayer? Okay, a good number of you. I wonder if as we speak those words, we realize how profound they are and what an honor they involve. I mean, what if that prayer were to, in that moment, be literally answered? And after you opened your eyes after praying, there would be Jesus sitting at your table with you. There's a story, and it's a true one, a story of a South African seminary student who was working on his doctorate in the U.S., and he'd come to our country in such a rush that he didn't have much time to look for decent housing. And so he had to live in a situation that was, well, just rather terrible for some time. But the seminary was able to rather quickly move him and his family into a nicer apartment, and that move took place on a humid summer day. And as many of the volunteers were finishing, sweating, the man looked around and he said, "Now," he exclaimed, "now the President of the United States could come to my home." It's a rather charming story, but what if it had happened? What if, at that very moment, the president had walked into that apartment? I imagine that the shock and maybe even after the shock and maybe even a bit of fear wore off, he'd be offered a place of honor, the nicest chair in the room perhaps. But more to the point for us, what would happen if upon our often routine, sometimes maybe unthinking invocation of his name in the table prayer, what if Jesus himself were actually to step into the room and say, "Hey folks, here I am. What's for dinner?" We actually see this in the Bible. Numerous times, in fact. Jesus was invited into people's homes, and he actually showed up. Martha and Mary invited Jesus for a meal, and then they got into an argument about the proper way to behave around such an honored guest. Matthew, a tax collector, invited Jesus to his home. Zacchaeus as well, another tax collector. All to the shock and the revulsion of the religious leaders and the prominent people of the town, Jesus actually accepted the invitation. A young couple in a village called Cana invited Jesus to their wedding, and he saved them from a social disaster. And Jairus, the ruler of a synagogue, urgently invited Jesus to his home because his young daughter was dying. And Jesus came and raised her from the dead. I don't know, you may recall also at that moment he spoke about food, telling the bystanders to give the young girl something to eat. Our table prayer, "Come Lord Jesus," was acted out on that occasion in a very real way. And there were others as well. The owner of an upper room welcomed Jesus and his disciples to celebrate the Passover in his home, not knowing that this would be the last supper Jesus would eat. The disciples returning to Emmaus on Easter evening likewise invited the Lord into their home for a meal. And whether he knew it or not, the person who owned the stable in Bethlehem also received the little Lord Jesus as an honored guest in a humble place. Jesus receives that place of honor. He seems to have occupied that place of honor on a rather regular basis. Our first reading tonight took us back to a famous incident where the Lord was invited to be a guest. Without realizing it, Abraham and Sarah hosted the Lord and two helpers, provided them food and care, and in so doing received a great blessing, the promise of a child to a barren woman. And doesn't that sound a lot like the rest of our table prayer? Let your gifts to us be blessed. And in many ways, the Lord's blessing to Abraham and Sarah that day foreshadowed Advent and Christmas, because it too involved a child, one who would usher in the guarantee of an eternity of joy and peace for all who put their trust in Him. The Bible often urges us to invite Jesus into our lives. And that word receive is frequently used to express that. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Doesn't that sound like inviting Jesus to be our guest? Tonight's second reading urged us to welcome one another, because by so doing, some people have entertained angels unawares, which is exactly what Abraham and Sarah did. But as we pray, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, we must not forget that at one time we invited Jesus not to our homes, but to a cross. And He accepted our invitation willingly. He endured that invitation in order to bring us the gift of forgiveness and assure us of a place, an honored place, in His family forever. He then became a guest in a tomb, so that He might one day visit our graves. You see, He's promised that when the time is right, He will come and call us out of our graves at our resurrection to be guests in His house for eternity. And even now, week by week, the Lord Jesus invites us to His house, to His table. He comes to us and He says, come as you are. Come weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to my banquet and eat. Don't worry about paying. That's already been done. You are my guest, and I have a wonderful life-renewing meal for you. The one we ask to be our guest serves us. He prepares a place for us. And this year, as we focus on this table prayer, we really want to renew our invitation for Him to come to our table, to our homes, to our daily lives. And we can do that with confidence because we know it is His pleasure to do so. He does come, just as He said, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, when you think about it, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, is in itself just a little bit strange, because after all, He's already there, just as He promised. So maybe our come Lord Jesus be our guest is really not so much an invitation, but a reminder for us to pause and remember this very thing, that there is nowhere He is not. So during these Wednesdays in Advent, I want us to think more intentionally how we might invite the Lord to come into our hearts and homes. When Martha and Mary entertained Jesus in their home, we read that Martha's distraction and busyness kept her from receiving Jesus in the better way. And I believe, especially at this time of year that's filled with so much busyness, it can be particularly easy to have it turn our hearts and eyes off of the better things of Christmas. So how can we do that? How can we use this time to focus? Well, thank you for coming tonight. Taking this time together to listen to God's word, to sing His praises, to offer our words of confession for times that we've failed Him is certainly a good start. And when we're at home, using things like devotional books, maybe even an Advent wreath, can also draw our hearts and eyes to see him who is truly the reason for the season. Like Martha's sister Mary, by sitting at the feet of Jesus, even though there are things to be done, we will strengthen our faith, the better thing. And we can also use this time to take the opportunity to exercise the faith that he has given to us, to show others the Jesus that we know. After all, this year, this time of year when we're constantly reminded of the need to be charitable, providing food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, hope for the hopeless. From the head of the table, our Lord reminds us, as you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So inviting others to rest at the table of our assistance is inviting Jesus himself. So this Advent, as we pray, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, let's be aware that Jesus is already there. That's what he said. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And let it also be a way of remembering that in a strange turn of events, as we receive the Lord into our homes, we can focus on and remember that there's a time when Jesus is going to say, I'm pleased to return the favor. And what joy it will be to hear him give us a place of honor at his table in his kingdom when he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.